Good evening, good afternoon. A brief outline of what's ahead for the Crow family, at least for the Papua New Guinea contingent. There's a number of things. I'd like us to pray before we start, if that'd be all right. Let's bow for prayer and ask the Lord's blessing just upon these few minutes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, as we've been firmly encouraged, Lord, these last few weeks to consider this matter of thankfulness. Lord, we take so very much for granted in this life, and one of the things particularly is that of fellowship of the Lord's people, of the privilege we have to be prayed for and to pray for one another. We just pray this evening, Lord, as we hear the testimony of what's taken place in the Solomons, as we consider this opportunity for this family, at least part of it, Lord, to return to Papua New Guinea, and for the many other opportunities that surround all of us on a daily basis, Lord, we just pray that you would make real to us the importance of praying one for another, of appreciating and entering into the ministry of others. And Lord, we know only by the Spirit of God we're able to do that. So we just ask for your blessing upon our time together, and that you'd encourage us as we meet here this afternoon. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I might get you to open your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is actually the first time that Julie and I have returned to Papua New Guinea. Oh, yes, there we go. The first time we went to Papua New Guinea, Sister Julie was pregnant with Samuel. That was a few years ago, back in 1992. We were married for 7 years, and we were firmly exhorted by many people that we needed to go see the doctor or get checked up or something like that, but we chose just to leave that with the Lord. And the Lord blessed us while we were on deputation with the news that Sister Julie was with child. And so the immediate temptation was, we'll stay back here in Australia and do it the convenient, comfortable way. But the way the Lord's always led us to do things is never terribly convenient or comfortable. And so we landed in Papua New Guinea with Sister Julie 7 months pregnant. And from that time until this, every time we've gone back to Papua New Guinea, we've gone back with suitcases and bags and boxes and usually a number of children in tow. So this will be the first time. It's a sad occasion, really, for us to go back to Papua New Guinea, and it's just Mum and I. But God has plans in all that too, so we're just very thankful that we have this opportunity to go back. To me, it's an amazing thing. I can tell you 2.5 years ago, when I arrived back in Australia in June 2015, I seriously thought that was the end of my missionary career. It is only by the grace of God that I can stand here today and testify to you that though weak in the body and somewhat challenged in heart and mind about the responsibility and the awesome challenge of what's ahead of us just in a few days, God has encouraged me, amazingly. God's encouraged us. I attribute that to nothing other than God's people praying for us. And just the way everything has happened, the burden that has come upon so many people, you would not believe the amount of people that have just communicated with us. Brother Dave, we are praying for you. We love you, brother. We're praying for you. We're praying for you to get back to the field. And I'm thinking, this is never going to happen. I would just like to say thank you to Grace Bible Baptist Church, because I know every one of you, if not daily, very regularly, you pray for us. And we stand here today in the grace of God because people have prayed. Our plan is to go back a lot more carefully, thoughtfully, and prayerfully than we have ever done before. One wise missionary said, "Brother, go forward on your knees." And I very much appreciate that. I feel like that one of the reasons that we were removed from Papua New Guinea by the grace of God and literally pulled out by the providence of God was because of just a lack of prayer. Unbeknownst to us, we had just sort of conveniently left prayer out to a degree, not intentionally by any means, but just thinking that we've been doing this for so long, running on reputation far more than the strength and the power of God, and just thinking, well, here we are, we know how to do all this, but little, as many of you know, what's taken place, we were coming undone. And the Lord has done more, I believe, for us as a family, for my wife and I as a married couple and our children that you all know very well. The Lord has done more for us as a family in the last 2.5 years through His undertaking than we ever could have accomplished in 25 years before that. And we give all glory and credit to the Lord for that. But God doesn't work apart from prayer. That's why I've asked you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I believe it was Hudson Taylor that said, "Brother, go forward on your knees." He was speaking to missionaries that were going forward into provinces in China that had never been reached before. There were 19 unreached provinces in China, probably some of the most dangerous provinces in the world in those days. And I don't say this for any form of glory, but I would share with you that probably today Papua New Guinea could be classified in some ways as one of the most dangerous places in the world, one of the most blessed places in the world. But I think Port Moresby is way up there as one of the world's worst cities, behind two or three others. Johannesburg in South America, South Africa and a few other places. But it's a challenging place. If you wanted to find a place in the Bible that was comparable to Papua New Guinea, it probably would have been Asia in Paul's day. Just see what it says here in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. "For we were not brethren..." Sorry, I didn't tell you what chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." And we don't know exactly what trouble Paul is referring to, probably associated with that uproar in Ephesus and other things, and Demetrius the silversmith and the threat against their lives and just the intimidation, the opposition, and the stress and the strain of being the first missionary in a place like Asia. It was a pioneering work. And Paul said, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." Here's just a very interesting little snippet on the end here in verse 11, the first part. I don't know if you've noticed this before. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Paul attributed his deliverance from near-death experience in Asia to God's people praying. And we very much enter into the reality of that. I don't know if any of you read Chris Dagan's prayer letter just very recently. Chris is what you probably could say a fairly new missionary. Already his life has been under threat. These people are serious people, the area where he's in there. I don't think one of the most difficult and challenging places that I've ever been in my life would be that village of Kagu. Kagu is on the border of four different villages, all traditional enemies, and they're this guy's right there in the middle of that, and death threats and all sorts of intimidating issues. How do you get encouraged in all of that? Well, Chris sent a very encouraging note just a couple of days to me. He said, "Brother," he said, "I am so encouraged to see the hand of the Lord." And I know that as a result of that first prayer letter, many people began to pray, and now the brother's encouraged. What a way to get encouraged. Truly, the Lord encourages us when people pray for us. I don't know how the dynamics of that work, but when you get on your knees before the Lord and you seriously beseech the Lord in specifics, a lot of people have questions about how do you pray? How do you pray for missionaries? The one way I would encourage you to pray for missionaries is specifically. This generic sort of, "Dear Lord, bless the missionaries in Jesus' name, amen," it's thoughtful, but it's not very helpful. Praying for your pastor, praying for anybody, praying for your lost family members, I believe it involves getting into the specifics, the nitty-gritties. Let's just have a quick look at a couple of specific prayer requests here in Romans 15. I'll just show you this. Brother Charlie just said to have a bit of liberty to take a few minutes to do this. I was impressed a few years ago of these verses here, just how Paul, in requesting prayer, became very specific about how to pray. And this isn't just in reference to us. You have mission work in the Solomon Islands. You've got a new church started over there through Brother Charlie's ministry and the men with him. You have many other missionaries that you pray for, the Dagans over there. We're going. There are more missionaries. So many opportunities to pray. But notice how specific these prayer points were in verse 30. Romans 15, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Romans 15, verse 30, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word strive is translated in Matthew 26, I think it is, when it says, and Jesus, being in an agony, prayed more earnestly. That word agony is the same word translated in Romans 15, verse 30, strive. Paul said, please agonize in prayer on my behalf. That's a pretty serious request. So agonize in prayer together with me. Verse 31, notice the specifics. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. One. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Good prayer to pray for your pastor. Specifically that his ministry would be acceptable unto the saints. You know, there's a lot of unacceptable attitude in people's hearts that needs to be worked through with the preaching of the word. So, I mean, you can open this up and elaborate on it. I mean, he's being specific and brief, but I believe the Lord would have us to go one step forward and open all this up and really pray through this. If you want to take the time to pray for people, pray specifically. And then he says in verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. You call that journey mercies. And may with you be refreshed. The missionary needs refreshment. He needs journey mercies, wisdom in decision making, being delivered from unreasonable people that don't believe, ministering to Christians that don't often want to receive the word of God. There's four prayer points just in that one. If you want to know how to pray, have a look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There are more. I won't go through all these, but just another very specific matter here for prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord, there it is again, may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Pray for results. I pray for the word of God to have free course. Pray for there to be results from the word of God being preached. And here's this matter of deliverance again, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So he's praying for safety. There's specifics. How do you pray for the missionaries? How do you pray for your pastor? How do you pray for anybody? Pray specifically. And God answers. I'll give you a few specific prayer requests that you can apply specifics to. Please pray for Brother Willie Tairaka. You know Brother Willie. Brother Willie just had a meeting with his pastors at Victory Baptist Church this afternoon, and they have agreed to send him to Papua New Guinea to be a missionary. Quite amazingly. Now, that's only just happened in the last month or so, but for a number of years, apparently, Brother Willie has been seriously praying. He prayed about the Solomons. Seems that the Lord didn't open that door, and he has asked us for prayer. He met with Pastor Oliver and Pastor Williamson, and they believe that it was of the Lord and that he's going to Papua New Guinea for 2 months as of the 7th of February, which is Wednesday week. Lord willing, we will be traveling on Wednesday. Brother Willie will be following in a week. And he believes, this is a great blessing to me, that he believes that the Lord has specifically directed him to be a servant to the missionary as Epaphroditus was to Paul. How's that for a privilege, brother? That's what the young man believes. He said, Brother Dave, he didn't use the word old and infirm. That's how I interpreted it. I had this sort of vision of Willie pushing me down out of the airport in my wheelchair, you know, but not quite that bad. But he said, Brother Dave, he said, I've seen your health and your physical condition and your age. And he says, I believe, he said, the Lord has burdened my heart to help you personally on the mission field. Brother Willie, what a blessing. If you don't know Brother Willie, he is one of the most humble servants in the Lord that I have ever met. Seriously, he even loves to do the washing up, Brother Lachlan. Praise the Lord, what a blessing. So here's this brother who has a desire to come. Lachlan also would appreciate your prayer. Lachlan is committed to spend another 60 days in Papua New Guinea helping Brother Tim Lewis complete his house. Brother Chris Dagan's house is falling out from underneath him. All the stumps are rotted away. These are practical areas of ministry and service that these young men are committed to. And it's a wonderful opportunity, but it's also a dangerous field. Please pray that our spiritual lives will be kept in order. Please pray that by the grace of God we can keep our flesh under control. That's never an easy thing to do. We always focus on the trials on the mission field. I think the greatest trial that anybody faces in a trial is not the trial itself, it's their reaction to the trial. And the battle of the mission field isn't the mission field, it's the flesh's reaction to the mission field. And that's where we come undone as missionaries, I believe, in all honesty. It's not the mission field that kills us, it's our reaction to the mission field that kills us. So please pray for all of us involved in this team effort. Sister Julie and myself, Brother Lachlan will be coming for 2 months, and he desires to come back here and fellowship with you folks and be involved in the Bible School Institute. Pray for Lachlan's family, if you would, as they're seeking the Lord's will concerning direction in their lives. And for Brother Willie, who's very seriously praying about full-time, well, he knows it's for now, for the next few years at least, and how the Lord's going to direct him after that, but he feels a direct call. So you can pray for Willie, and pray for my situation with my health. I don't want that to be a priority. I just pray for grace. If you'd pray for grace to live with whatever difficulties we have there, and pray for Sister Julie, the responsibility that she's going to have with a great ministry, size-wise, in just ministering to everybody. We have a team of young people coming over for camp this year, I believe, maybe a dozen or so young people. Brother Joshua, we've asked him to be the camp speaker. So you could be praying for just getting settled back in and ministry opportunities. Pray for Brother Timothy Lewis, him and his wife, praying about what's next for them. So many things to pray for. But I would just emphasize just that thought, is that if you take the time, even if it's just once a week, to really pray specifically the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. An effectual prayer is specific. And taking the time to pray through, and you're better off taking 2 or 3 minutes to pray specifically about something than just praying for 20 things generically, I think. And I'm not saying I'm an expert on the subject by any matter, but just that there are those things there. Just lastly, in finishing up, the plan is Wednesday to fly from Sydney to Port Moresby and straight through to Leigh the same day. We've packed a container, 40-foot container, full of amazing amount of donated goods, so many things that people have given so generously. There's 2 vehicles in the container. And so we would pray, again, if you would, I'll ask you to pray specifically that we won't, or at least we'll have a minimum of fuss with the customs people on the other end, that the Lord would just enable us to get that container out and to get all the goods back up to Yonke, where our ministry is, and that we would be able to just have a smooth transition from this country to the next. Do pray for Brother Joe and Sister Jeslyn. I would say thank you on their behalf as well, especially for the blessing that you folks have been to them, the hospitality, the kindness, the welcome, the fellowship, the friendship. And they have a huge responsibility, 4 or 5 young family members, their children, who are all in all stages of seeking the will of God for their lives. And they're going to be yoked with us in this work, as are many others. And we're looking forward to it, but we also do feel, as I mentioned, the need definitely to go forward very thoughtfully, prayerfully and carefully on our knees. So please especially pray that we would remember to pray and never to get to the stage where we think we can just keep doing this, because we've found out the hard way we definitely can't do it. Without me, the Lord Jesus said, ye can do nothing. How true? No truer words in all of Scripture. So thank you for your prayer. Thank you for being a great blessing to us. This church has ministered to us as a family. I would hate to think where we would be today as a family if it wasn't for Grace Bible Baptist Church. Thank you.